For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Tut Underwood.
I am going to be endorsing Senator Marco Rubio.
I'm all of the way in supporting Ted Cruz for president.
I'm endorsing, I'm supporting Hillary Clinton enthusiastically.
There's no question in my mind that Jeb is the best qualified person to run for president.
Political endorsements have been around as long as there have been campaigns. But according to Democratic National Committee member Carol Fowler, their importance in influencing voters depends on several factors. One is how many a candidate has.
If you have a long list of endorsers, perhaps I might believe that you were winning the race and I should be for you. And if you don't have anybody vouching for you, endorsing you, I might think you're not doing too well.
Whether local endorsements are effective is a complex formula, Fowler said, adding another factor that can increase their importance.
Most of these endorsers have a little political organization of their own. If they're a mayor or a city council member or a pastor of a big church, they've got an organization. And if they do something to convert the members of that organization to the candidate, that's more valuable than just having a name on a list.
Fowler's husband, Don, also a Democratic National Committee member, said another element can possibly sway voters.
A lot of it depends on the credibility of the endorser. Sometimes endorsements mean nothing. Other times they are very important. If you're a Republican running for the U.S. Senate in Ohio this year, you would kill to get Donald Trump's endorsement. Back when I was more involved at that level, people would do almost anything to get Bill Clinton's endorsement.
Barack Obama is the man for this job.
The Fowlers agreed that endorsements do little to change the opinions of people who have already made up their minds, but can influence those who remain undecided. According to USC political scientist Robert Oldendick, media endorsements once meant more than they do now, chiefly because of technology.
People have so many different sources of information, all the different cable news channels, social media. It's so diffuse that you're just not reaching enough people that it's going to have that much of an impact. And then many more organizations now endorsing so that any individual endorsement has less of an impact.
Oldendick named a time when endorsements were at the peak of their influence.
1950s and 1960s. We still had just the three major broadcast networks. The major newspapers in this country had a great deal of influence in those times. So if I was going to pinpoint a heyday of political endorsements, certainly in modern times, that would be it.
And that was a time when presidential candidate Barry Goldwater got a boost in his ultimately losing campaign from a celebrity who would later win the office himself, Ronald Reagan.
Let's get a real leader in the White House. Vote for Barry Goldwater.
Don Fowler pointed out an example of an effective endorsement elsewhere in America that comes neither from individuals nor media.
Cook County, Illinois is the best example I can think of right now. If you get not an individual's endorsement, but the party's endorsement in Cook County, that is decisive in most cases.
Some South Carolina groups have similar influence, Carol Fowler said.
In South Carolina, there are certain interest groups, such as the Sierra Club or the Conservation Voters, that have a lot of members who look to them when they're undecided to try to determine which candidate to vote for.
Both the Fowlers and Oldendick believe that voters should consider endorsements as only one factor in their decisions, which should also include studying the issues and talking to people whose opinions they respect. This report also can be heard on SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Tut Underwood.